the first part of my interview with Audrey Denny. You're listening to KKRN, as I just said. Before I do the musical break, I just want to also give you a reminder that KKRN is having a big benefit this benefit concert this weekend. Rita Hosking with Sean Fetter is going to be performing at the Pilgrim Church on Saturday night, 2850 Foothill Boulevard. It's $15 for the concert only, $25 for dinner and the concert. We're going to be serving a homemade lasagna, green salad, garlic bread, wine, beer, and other beverages will be on sale, and we think it's going to be a really great event. The Rusting Roses with Annie Cody are opening the show, and the doors are opening at 5:30. Dinner is starting at 6:45. The concert is starting at 7, and we wanted to make sure that everybody is aware of that so that you can join in the fun. And in honor of that event, I'm going to give the musical break to Rita Hosking. Here we go.
Bucket drums and violins, dancing bums with drunken grins, bonfire and a big amen if you come back again. Whole pot of innocence stew, Uncle Bob in his pink tutu, play kazoo with deja vu if you come back again. Down Skid Row if you come back again. Dogs whack and donkeys bray, saltine sardine buffet, 75 degrees all day if you come back again. If you come back again, salmon start to spawn and midnight musicians write pretty songs at dawn. And fireflies begin to light up a pantheon made up of your good friends if you come back again.
Okay, the musical break was Rita Hosking from her latest album, For Real. Just a reminder that KKRN will be having a benefit concert with Rita on Saturday. And now I would like to take us back to... Welcome back to KKRN Community Radio's interview with Audrey Denny. We are talking today about her congressional race in this upcoming election, which is next week. We've started talking about issues with Audrey, and the next one that we decided to talk about is civil rights and social justice. You've mentioned that it's a big passion of yours to seek equality and respect for all, but it's rather obvious that in this country we do have a problem with racism, and that there is not fair treatment or justice treatment of people with color, just treatment of people with color. And though we don't, you know, we are mostly a white counties, we still have plenty of people of color, and I do think that we need to address those issues. So I'd just like you to talk some about that racial inequality, and what do you think people can do, and what you might be able to do as a congressperson.
Thanks so much for bringing this up. And in case anyone's just tuning into to our interview, we talked in the beginning about how the core of who I am is someone who believes in the inherent equality and dignity of all people. And I'm really proud to be of a progressive faith tradition that's been fighting for social justice and racial justice and environmental justice and economic justice for a long time. And so this is a big issue on my heart. And I do think that there's a lot that we can do across the board to fight institutionalized racism in our systems and in our society. And I want you to think about this for a second. Right here in California's First District, if you are a man 25 or older with white skin, 9% of you will not have a high school degree. But if you are a man 25 years of old or older who's Latino, 42% of you won't have a high school degree. So even here in our beautiful North State, there is institutional racism baked into our systems. And so attacking it from an education lens, from a public safety lens, from reforming our criminal justice system, from our drug policies, we need to be looking at every single system from a human rights framework and from a human rights point of view to make sure that everyone has equal opportunity under the law. I want to tell you something that happened when I was up at Weed High School a few weeks ago. I was visiting and chatting with the superintendent of public schools for Siskiyou County. Weed High School is the most diverse high school in Siskiyou County. And they were talking about how they were rolling out a new restorative justice program at their high school level and how they were able to start bringing high school students from different sides of the political divide together to talk about things, and how instead of when someone gets in trouble for tagging or for mouthing off to a teacher, instead of sending them to detention and then Saturday school and then eventually continuation school and juvie and prison, instead of sending them down that pathway, they're starting restorative justice practices where young people have to make amends for their wrong and then bridges the gap and sets them on a more positive trajectory. So instead of just a punishment scenario, they have to apologize for it and own up, fess up to what they did. Mm-hmm. But then they can start to make positive choices. And so looking at that, I mean, just even at a school level in Siskiyou County, I thought that was amazing, forward-thinking, solutions-oriented type of systems and type of thinking that can start to, on an individual level and on a county level, break down some of that institutionalized racism.
Mm-hmm. Good idea. I know in Shasta County they have a peer court situation. It's also very interesting with students. And I think part of the idea of it is instead of just punishment, there's hope for improvement. Mm-hmm. And, well, that's what the restorative part of it is. But also sometimes instead of going to juvie, you do community service. Mm-hmm. And that helps perhaps bridge gaps that will keep doors open rather than closing doors.
Absolutely.
Okay, also another big issue lately, and unfortunately, is the number of killings that have been going on in the schools and access to guns. And of course, there seem to be a big divide on that. Some people say, oh no, don't change the gun laws. The guns aren't the problem. I wonder if you could comment on that.
So last night I was at the Chico Farmers Market and I had a conversation with a teacher. She's been an educator her entire life in the middle schools. And she came up to me and we started talking about this, and she had tears in her eyes when she said, I'm afraid to go to work every day, and I feel more comfortable when I'm traveling in developing countries than I do going to my middle school every day, because I know it's only a matter of time. And then today I was having coffee this morning with a young woman who's a freshman at the community college here in town, but has a younger sister and a younger brother at the high school. And she was telling me how her brother and sister are afraid to go to school every day. And they're traumatized by the secondary trauma that we're seeing because of all of these horrific incidences of violence on our schools, school campuses. And so with this issue, like every other issue, I think it's really important to start at a point of our shared common values. And for me, for us on this issue, I know that gun owners or people who don't own guns, nobody wants innocent lives taken at the hands of guns. And so I think it's really important to start there. In California, from 93 to 2016, we've seen gun violence rates drop by 56%. In that same time frame, around the rest of the country, it only dropped by 16%. So we're doing something right here in California. And until other states will bring up their gun safety legislation to the point of ours, I think there's some things that we can do at a federal level to keep our kids safer in schools right now. I think, closing the gun show loophole, instituting a truly universal background check system, banning bump stocks and binary triggers, and bringing back the assault weapons ban of 1994 are all things that I believe that we can do at the federal level right now to keep our kids safer. That said, I also want you to know that I grew up on a family farm, and I was from a family that safely and responsibly used firearms, and I understand their necessity in the rural lifestyle for farmers and for ranchers and for sports enthusiasts. I understand their necessity, and so I think that's an important frame to bring. But when we can get responsible gun owners in the same room talking with people who don't necessarily have that frame, I think we can find a lot of common ground in the middle to keep our kids safer.
Good point. Okay, I think I'm going to jump to something a little bit different. The climate change situation and the environment. How do you feel about what's been going on with the Paris Accord, the rollback of ecological regulations? What are your feelings about climate change, and what can we do, or could you do if you were a congressperson?
I absolutely believe that that climate change is the single largest threat facing our existence as humans on this planet. Even if we stopped using fossil fuels across the board today, in the next 100 years, we would still have dramatic climate-related disasters and dramatic loss of life related to climatic disasters, let alone the economic ramifications. Here in Butte County, where we're sitting right now, we can no longer grow cherries because we don't get enough chill hours. And so as an agriculturalist and as an environmentalist, I am both of those things. Those things are not mutually exclusive. They go together very, very well. We have to be attacking this problem. It has to be at the forefront. We can't be denying it and pretending like it's not happening. It needs to be at the forefront of all of our legislative priorities. So besides being a vigorous proponent of renewable and clean energy sources, there's a lot that we can do with how we utilize our land. Now, I'm a big proponent of regenerative agriculture practices, which actually sequester carbon from the atmosphere where it's a liability and store it in the soil. It makes our soil healthier, but we can also be actively mitigating the climate change.
Is that a process? How do you do that?
Yes, so plants sequester carbon in the soil. And so when we use agriculture practices like holistic plant grazing and cover crops, keeping the soil covered, when we're investing in the biodiversity of our soil, microbes will actually help plants sequester carbon. And so this is just a natural biological process that happens, but when we
but
manage...
But people in some agricultural practices don't do these things?
Exactly. So when we leave vast swaths of land tilled, but some crops clearly need that, but others don't, and when we can minimize tillage, when we can keep the soil covered with mulches or cover crops, these are types of agriculture practices that actually regenerate the soil and mitigate climate change at the same time. So I am a firm advocate for incentivizing some of these agricultural practices through farm policy, but I believe that there's a lot that we can be doing to be mitigating climate change, and I am proud to be a Californian because I believe we are on the forefront of this effort, and I am looking forward to the day that
you may get a lot of pushback against there is the whole Trump thing against being angry with California, and
I'm proud to be a Californian.
Yes, good. Okay, so we are just about getting towards the end, and so what I would like to turn to now is just a little explanation about this election that you're running in. It is an open primary. Would you make sure that our listeners understand that?
So in California's open primary system, any registered voter can vote for any candidate on the ballot. So in my race, there'll be 7 candidates on the ballot in the U.S. House of Representatives, California's first district race. And the top 2 vote-getters, regardless of party affiliation, will go on to the general election on November 6th of this year.
Right. And so there are 2 Republicans running, Doug LaMalfa and Gregory Cheadle, and then 4 Democrats, and you're one of those, and then 1 Green Party person. So what is your feeling about how this is going to come down and what... what is your strength in this, with this scenario?
Well, I believe that we will see, coming out of the June 5th primary, the incumbent and the person with the best chance of beating the incumbent in November, and I believe that person is me. We talked a little bit already about the broad coalition of support that my campaign is drawing, and I think that's a definite asset. But Ellen, the other really unique thing about my campaign is, at some point in the last 5 months, it became a movement, and it's not about me as a leader, me as a person. I've been able to cast a vision of what I believe justice looks like in our North State, and other people who believe in that vision have been attracted to this campaign. And so we have an infrastructure in place. We have 5 full-time staffers. We have 8 college interns, office in Chico, office in Reading, 6 campaign hubs across the district. We have the infrastructure in place to do the work, but more importantly, we have hundreds of amazing volunteers who have taken this campaign, this movement, and made it their own because they believe in the vision. And so we'll have people tabling at grocery stores or people out talking to all their friends and canvassing their friends without us knowing it. Those aren't activities that we're coordinating, but volunteers are so excited about this campaign, mm-hmm. For better representation that they're making it their own. And I really believe that sort of momentum and energy will get us through the June 5th primary and make us victorious in November.
Okay, and so we also wanted to let people know exactly the date of the primary is next Tuesday, June 5th. The polls are open from 7 a.m. to 8 p.m. If you're already registered, you should have already gotten election material and know where your polling place is. If you haven't registered, you did miss the deadline, but there is something you can do. Audrey, would you like to fill them in on that?
Yes. So if you miss the registration deadline on May 21st, you can still get a provisional ballot that will allow you to vote in this election. And to do that, you need to go to your county elections office and ask for a provisional ballot, or you can also go to your polling place the day of and ask for a provisional ballot, and you will still be able to vote in this election. And your vote is your voice, and so we really, really want to encourage you to, whoever you vote for, I hope it's me, but whoever you vote for, make sure that your voice is heard.
And for those who want more information about you and your campaign, what can they do?
You bet. The easiest thing to do is to go to our website at audreyforcongress.com. I encourage you to check it out, and if you like what you heard here or like what you see on the website, I would love for you to get involved. We've got people making phone calls and knocking doors and texting every day for this campaign, and we would love your support and humbly asking for your vote on June 5th.
Okay, and let's see, and how are you spending your time these days on the campaign? Are you speaking places? Are you meeting people still?
Every day, yes. I'm a full-time candidate, and so every day we're planning different speaking events around the district. You can always check back on our website, on the Facebook, the calendar on the Facebook and the website has the most up-to-date information about where I'm speaking, and we're also having meetings with constituents every day.
Okay. Well, I would like to thank you for being here today and give you the opportunity to leave the listeners with your very last thoughts about your campaign and what you're offering. So, have at it.
Oh,
I know you said it a lot,
but you
may have some people that didn't hear the beginning.
Well, I just... I'm just grateful for this time to get to share a little bit about our vision for the North State, and I just really want to encourage people, wherever you find yourself on the political spectrum, to make sure that you don't let anything stop you from voting. I so believe that when we get disillusioned with the system and the process, that feeling of my vote doesn't matter, my voice doesn't matter, that's giving up, and that's not taking ownership of the political process. And when we, as everyday Americans, don't engage with the political process and don't take ownership of it, then the rich and the powerful win the day. But the political process should be owned by everyday regular Americans like you and I. And the way that we own that process is first and foremost by voting, and then secondly by getting to know and supporting candidates through our volunteer time and our small dollar donations.
Okay. Thank you so much for spending this time with me today, and I appreciate it very much. Thank you.
Thanks.
And that concludes our interview with Audrey Denny. I hope you found it interesting and that it may inform your voting. So we're to the very end of Community Works Radio, and I want to do a few announcements about events. One thing that's happening on Friday night, an environmental evening with poets, musicians, and activists. Let us inform you. Let us entertain you. Let us inspire you to action. This is a KKRN event done by KKRN broadcasters Pamela Spoto and others. It's going to be held at Old City Hall, 1313 Market Street in Reading, on this Friday, June 1st at 7:30 p.m. It is a free event. There will be light refreshments for sale. This event is sponsored by KKRN Community Radio, Shasta County Arts Council, and the Reading Cultural District. And KKRN will be there with a booth, of course, and we look forward to seeing you there if you can make it. Also, as I mentioned earlier, we have our concert with Rita Hosking and Sean Fetter taking place on Saturday, June 2nd at the Pilgrim Congregational Church, 2850 Foothill Boulevard. We're serving dinner, homemade lasagna, green salad, garlic bread, if you'd like to buy that. It's $15 for the concert only, $25 for the dinner and concert. We're opening the doors at 5:30. You get your tickets at the event, not ahead of time, so you can come at 5:30. We're starting dinner at 5:45, and the concert starts at 7. It would be awesome. It's a great way to support your community radio, and it would be lovely to see you there. So you have been tuned in to listener-supported KKRN Community Radio, Community Works Radio, with your host, Ellen Sugg. We are supported by listeners like you here at KKRN and brought to you by volunteers from the community. You can become a listener supporter by going to our website, kkrn.org, and clicking on the Donate button, or by mailing a check to P.O. Box 188, Montgomery Creek, California, 96065. You can call 337-1101 to learn how to volunteer at KKRN Community Radio, and also about the events. I forgot to mention that, 337-1101, if you have questions about the radio, would like to give some money, would like to go to an event, that's where you can reach us. Thank you for listening today. Remember that KKRN programs stream live on our website and on the KKRN mobile app. If you have a smartphone, we have a Facebook page, KKRN 88.5, where you can like us and get news about your community radio. Thank you for listening to Community Works Radio on KKRN. If you would like to talk about your community organization and work, please call me at our business line, 337-1101. And tomorrow at the same time, you can turn in for another special edition of Community Works Radio and the KKRN election series with the candidate Jenny O'Connell, who is running for the California Assembly. It will be taking place from 4 to 5 p.m., just like today, in place of Economic Update with Richard Wolf tomorrow. So that will be the last day. Coming up next after this show today is the Tom Hartman program until 6, and then broadcast from 6 to 7. Next week, you can turn in at 4 p.m. on Wednesday to hear Le Show with Harry Shearer again, and that will be the way it goes on from here on after until we decide to do another special during my time, 4 p.m. on Tuesday. So thank you so much for listening, and remember, it's in the meantime, it's going to take us all.
We need the Buddhists and the Baptists, Quakers and Catholics too, the atheists and agnostics, Muslims and Jews. We We need people of all nations, all colors and all creeds, to put an end to war now, put an end to greed. Gonna take us all to make a change, take us all to win the peace. Gonna take us all in the streets, gonna take us all. It's gonna take us all. We need the immigrants and the unions, the greens and the gays, hip hoppers and beboppers and women for equal pay. Farm workers out in the sun, homeless out in the rain, seniors and soccer moms, a world that is humane. Gonna take us all to make a change, take us all to win the peace. Gonna take us all in the streets, gonna take us all. It's gonna take us all. Socialists and the anarchists, the pacifists and the humanists. Every culture and community takes black and white and brown. Times we won't see eye to eye, but we stand on common ground. Gonna take us all to make a change, take us all to win the peace. Gonna take us all in the streets, gonna take us all to make a change.
Vista. Programming on KKRN is supported in part by listeners like you and Mountain Valley's Health Centers, serving the Intermountain communities by providing primary care. Appointments can be made in Burnie at 334.